evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I am John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, October 21st, 2016. President Kiir's statement to party supporters this week receives wider condemnation from South Sudanese.
Kiir's statement yesterday has actually destroyed the country, and the country is no more. Even Equatorial will not be there, Baragazal will not be there, Kapana will not be there, and I think this is a great accomplishment.
And over 20 youth accused of engaging in violence are released in Yei River State.
These young people should go back to their communities, and they should not engage themselves in armed struggle. If they wanted to join the government force, they are welcome to come and join the government force, which is a very good gesture.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. President Salva Kiir has finally accepted the deployment of Kenyan, Rwandan and Ethiopian troops as part of a 4,000-strong regional protection force that was supposed to be sent to South Sudan at the end of September to protect civilians after deadly violence broke out in Juba in early July and spread to other parts of the country. South Sudan in Focus obtained a copy of a letter written this week by South Sudan's Minister of Cabinet Affairs, Martin Elia Lomuro, expressing the country's readiness to cooperate with the UN Resolution 2304, authorizing the deployment of additional troops to South Sudan, following reports that members of the South Sudan Army attacked international aid workers and civilians in July. Elia's letter, addressed to the Russian permanent representative to the United Nations, says the transitional government of national unity is preparing for the arrival of the additional regional protection force at the end of October. In July, President Kiir said his government would not accept a single foreign troops in the country. The Obama administration is calling on the government of South Sudan to comply with its commitments to stop harboring or providing support to Sudanese armed opposition groups as required by the 2012 UN Security Council Resolution 2046. The deputy spokesman for the U.S. Department of State, Mark Turner, says there are credible reports indicating that South Sudan government is harboring and providing assistance to Sudanese rebels. Turner is urging South Sudanese leaders to redouble their effort to meet the commitments they recently reached with Sudan, under which both sides agreed to end support for armed opposition groups on either side. Turner also says the presence of Sudanese armed opposition groups in South Sudan destabilizes both countries and violates the signed resolution of the conflict in South Sudan. South Sudan's former Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs says President Kiir's statement on Wednesday to party supporters in Juba is a declaration of sectarian violence in the country. Chirino Hiteng says President Kiir has given license to the South Sudan Army to kill civilians in Yei River State. Hiteng warns that once Mr. Kiir issues orders, the army will go on rampage, looting and killing innocent people in the former Central Equatorial State.
When he says that he's going to take command in Yei, which means he's going to kill Equatorians, he's going to create a country for himself. And this is very unfortunate,
Tanza. You sound like you are talking on sectarian grounds. I thought you, the former detainees, opted not to fight, opted not to take side in the conflict, and you were advocating for peace in the country. But now you are talking about Equatoria.
You are right. You know why I'm saying this? Kiir's statement yesterday has actually destroyed the country. And the country is no more. Even Equatorial will not be there, Baragazal will not be there, Kapana will not be there, and I think this is a great accomplishment. I am from the former detainees, I'm the G10, we are never sectarian. We propose a way forward. The region and the international community has hesitated not to get us right, or they have abandoned everything we would like to propose. But I'm happy that everybody is now talking about the round table to bring all political forces in South Sudan so that we can sit together and discuss the future of this country. The future of this country, Kiir has lost it. President Kiir is no longer in He's not, what can I say? He's not even in charge of anything. There are several political powers in South Sudan. Terry has no idea who they are.
Let's look at the statement critically, because he was saying that people from certain parts of the country, that is the Equatorial region, have refused to join the army, and he's left with the members from his community alone after Machar took a lot of people from his ethnic community.
I was very happy around with this acknowledgement that there is no army, is Machar, is Galweng, whatever they call him in Warab. By the way, let me tell you one thing. We can never say out of this. Kiir and Chauvinist and the GAC, Joint Council of Elders, have taken all the weapons of the South to Warap and Awil. They have taken all the money to Awil and Warap. They have taken everything. I don't know what country they want to declare. Warap and Awil, are they going to be a country?
You've been in the government since the Comprehensive Peace Agreement was signed. What are you hearing from your colleagues in Juba? What is the situation looking like?
Juba is dead. Everybody in Juba is not happy. Everybody in Juba has been succumbed. Everybody in Juba has been totally downtrodden. That is exactly the pride some of us have in G10. We wanted to correct things right from the 6th of December 2013.
Talking to you and other people in South Sudan politics, it looks like all of you are saying that the country is sliding to a very dangerous trend. But you're not giving a solution of how to get out of that dangerous trend. You're not giving solution of how to get out of it.
Let me tell you, we have a solution. From yesterday, from Kiir's statement, the country has fallen. But we said in August, this country requires all of us and everybody. We need a round table of all political forces in South Sudan, including civil society, the churches, NGOs, and everybody. We want to sit together, and this forum must be set so that we can decide who can take this transition.
The government in Juba has been also saying that you, the former detainees, have no grounds to grumble, so to speak, because you have a minister of foreign affairs who is from you, you have a minister for roads who is from you, and so you are part of the government.
Why am I speaking from outside? I am the deputy minister of foreign affairs. I was the deputy minister of foreign affairs. My dismissal was illegal. The president acknowledges it. Salva knows that my dismissal was illegal because they are emotional, all of them. If the regional protection force is deployed, we are going back to Juba.
That's Chirino Hiteng, South Sudan's former deputy minister for foreign affairs, who is also a member of the former political detainees. He was speaking to me yesterday from the Kenyan capital, Nairobi. More than 20 youth detained in Yei River State for allegedly being involved in rebel activities were freed today. State authorities say the youth were released as part of an effort to restore peace across the state and mend relationship between the army and the local community. Tito Justin has the story for VOA from Juba.
22 youths were set free 2 weeks after a delegation led by President Salva Kiir's military advisor Daniel Awet and presidential advisor on special affairs Clement Wanikonga visited Ye in a bid to restore peace and reconcile the army with the local community. Ye River State Information Minister Stephen Lodo Onesimo says the delegation ordered state SPLA leaders to stop arresting and detaining local youth, warning it will turn its relations between residents, military and state authorities. Lodo says the youths were freed without any pending charges. He says state military officials warned the youth to stay away from anti-government activities.
These young people should go back to their communities and they should not engage themselves in armed struggle. If they wanted to join the government force, they are welcome to come and join the government force, which is a very good gesture.
Kemis Eli is one of the freed youths. Eli praised the state officials for setting him and his colleagues free. Speaking in Arabic, he denies having been involved in any rebel activities. Eli is asking other youth to stay away from rebels.
As a young person, I would like to say that if there is any other person who has an idea to go to the bush, I think that is senseless, because we South Sudanese have suffered a lot.
It's been 6 months since fighting broke out in Yei River State. Church leaders have condemned reports of killings and looting of unarmed civilians in the state. Aid workers and local leaders say thousands of Yei residents have been forced to flee to neighboring Uganda and the Democratic Republic of Congo because of the rampant insecurity. Lodu insists the security situation in Yei is improving.
Yei River State is now becoming calm, not like previous months. And what destroyed Yei, it was the rumors that went wild, and also this target killing on the highways, which is actually spoiled the image of the Yei. So we need to tell the people this is not the time for people to look into this hatred that people are hating the community, and this is not the right time for it. This is the right time now for building peace among the people and build development in our areas.
Yei residents who have sought refuge in neighboring Uganda have called on the government to restore peace and negotiate with the armed groups to end hostilities in the region. Lodu agrees government officials should talk to armed groups to restore peace.
People should resort into dialogues rather than resorting to armed struggle. This is not a time for armed struggle, and there is no need even for the armed struggle at this time.
On Wednesday, President Salva Kiir threatened to personally lead military operations against armed groups in Yei if unidentified gunmen continue to attack civilians in the state. For VOA News, I am Tito Justin in Juba.
Still in Juba, the commissioner of Rokon County in the newly created Jubek State narrowly escaped death when gunmen ambushed a convoy of vehicles he was traveling in from Juba. Commissioner Simon Muse Lujang says he was traveling with 19 county officials when unidentified gunmen attacked his convoy some 20 miles from the capital. Michael Atit has the details for VOA from Juba.
No one was killed in the attack, but one bodyguard was shot at the leg. Commissioner Muse believes the attackers were SPLA-IO fighters. He says his convoy was attacked about 9 o'clock this morning when it approaches Kuda, north of Juba.
I took off from Juba this morning at around 7, going to my station to Rokon. But it's very unfortunate, when I reached to almost 21 miles from Juba, I was ambushed. And one of my runner is wounded. The support car is damaged. The data is damaged.
After the attack, Muse says he and his team walked nearly 5 miles from the scene of the ambush to reach Kuda, the nearest village.
I'm started. I don't know where to start. I'm just waiting the directive from my governor. I've talked to them and the security advisor for Jubeki State. I'm waiting for further directives from the head office.
Muse says South Sudanese have suffered for too long and need peace so they can focus on developing the country.
To those who are making atrocity and making ambushes, even to the government officials and then even the civilians, I'm requesting them to come so that we talk about the peace and so that we can have peace in the South Sudan.
In recent weeks, several attacks have been reported on civilians traveling on the Juba-Nimule, Juba-Torit and Juba-Yei roads. 2 weeks ago, a group of unknown gunmen attacked 2 trucks along Juba-Yei road, killing 21 people and injuring 20 others, including women and children. Justin Daniel is the spokesperson of the South Sudan National Police Service. He says he has yet to receive a detailed report about the incident. He says the government has deployed extra police officers along the major roads leading in and out of Juba.
Yes, we have highway police that are deployed along the roads, especially Juba-Nimule, controlling the speed of the vehicles, protecting the cars on the road. But our police in the stations along the road are the ones who went there. That is why I'm saying I'm still waiting for the full report.
South Sudan's military spokesman, Brigadier Lul Roy Kwang, confirms the incident. He accuses rebels allied to former First Vice President Riek Machar of carrying out today's attack, as well as the other attacks along roads leading in and out of Juba. Kwang says the army escorting the commissioner were able to repulse the attackers.
We have basically soldiers deployed along the area, so it is they were not taking advantage of the situation or maybe security vacuum. No, it was like an attack, and they thought that it was a soft target, and it was part of their new tactics to attack civilians who are using the road, not legitimate military targets.
SPLA-IO military spokesman Dixon Gatluak denies SPLA-IO forces were involved in today's attack.
These are criminals. These
These are criminals who are using that as an advantage because our forces are not put in cantonment sites. So what is happening is not the SPLA-IO forces.
Cantonment site for the SPLA-IO forces was supposed to be worked out by the transitional government under the 2015 peace agreement. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Juba.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, a South Sudanese student having a tough time paying his bill finds a way to make ends meet. That story is coming up next.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
how do you get international news?
I watch TV most of the time, and I have an app in my phone that has notifications about that.
I get international news from internet, and sometimes we have TVs, that's televisions, which can provide international news.
International news I get through the television, and sometimes when I get access to internet, I browse through the different websites.
I'm always with a TV in my room, and every time I get to listen to news. Being a law student, I need to follow a lot of news, and I'm normally close to local radio stations, and at times I read the New Vision when I get the time.
I get international news from my mobile. I have applications for news that I get regularly.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. Some South Sudanese students studying in Uganda have devised unique ways to survive the economic hardships facing them. Mongoma Debs Rakari takes a look at one South Sudanese in the Ugandan capital, Kampala, who has set up a business that helps him earn money and also employ his fellow countrymen.
Every evening after classes, 25-year-old George Wani, a second-year student at Kampala International University, rushes to his business in Soyabunga, a Kampala suburb. He must keep cooking utensils clean as he waits for customers. It is a newly acquired profession. Before South Sudan conflict broke out in December 2013, when his parents paid his school fees and provided for his other needs. But the fighting affected his parents' business, and they could no longer pay school fees for Wani or his siblings, who also study in Kampala. Wani says he had to sell the family car in order to pay school fees and meet other expenses. Wani decided to open a restaurant.
Then I remained with some money. Then I'm said, if I keep this money, I'm going to eat it. Let me do something with it. Now I have started a small business here, like a restaurant, for Sudanese restaurant. Even some Ugandans and Congolese, they can come. Now the thing is going somehow good.
The South Sudanese pound has continued to lose value against the US dollar ever since violence broke out in Juba and spread to other parts of the country. One US dollar now exchanges for more than 70 South Sudanese pounds on the black market. When he says his parents cannot afford to raise enough pounds to buy dollars on the black market to pay school fees for him and his young brother, who is also a student at Kampala International University.
If I wait for all the money to come from there for school fees and for the rent and for everything, it becomes difficult. That is why I opened this small business, to share with those people in South Sudan. I pay some and they pay some.
When his restaurant, called Ramshel, employs 7 South Sudanese, including Monitek Majak, an information technology student at Kampala University. Majak says his parents can only manage to pay school fees, so he has to make ends meet from his part-time job at Ramshel restaurant.
Those who used to support us have stopped recently from providing what was needed. This business right here is providing, you know, those small things. It can keep food on the table and give someone something for transportation. It also helps in, you know, in paying rent.
Wadang Ador, a final year law student at the Kampala-based Cavendish University, is a regular customer at the restaurant. He says Ramshel is a new home for him in Kampala.
It seems to be like part and parcel of our cultures, uniting ourselves and being under one umbrella, actually. We are not just coming here to drink, actually, South Sudanese tea or to eat the local food. No, we come here, actually, to share our difficulties, to share actually each and everything together. We communicate, we resolve our problems, and we discuss.
Ador says he believes when young South Sudanese like himself finish their studies, they'll be able to find jobs back home and participate in making decisions to determine the future of their country. For VOA News, I am Mugume, Davis Ruakarinj in Kampala, Uganda.
United Nations mission in South Sudan is calling on the government to listen to the pleas of South Sudanese yearning for peace. Speaking at an event in Torit to mark the UN's 71st anniversary, UNMISS officials say the government should end the conflict and focus on setting up development projects. Dimo Silva Aurelio has more for VOA from Torit.
UNMISS officials say unless the government ends the deadly conflict, it will be difficult for South Sudan to achieve the UN's Global Sustainable Development Goals by 2030. UNMISS officials say to achieve those goals, which include ending poverty and protecting the planet, everyone must do their part, including government officials, the private sector, and civil society activists. Bashir Ali Gele is the acting head of the UNMISS field office in Torit. He urged Imotong State and national government officials to listen to the people.
Appeal to you, as the leaders of Imotong State, of South Sudan, and of course the entire country, to listen to the outcry of the young lad, about the challenges that the children, the women, and everyone else is facing as a result of lack of peace, lack of stability.
Ali Gele warns that South Sudan will not be unable to achieve the UN Sustainable Development Goals unless there is peace in the country.
Children need to go to school. They will not be able to attend school if there is no peace, if there is no stability. Women would like to go to the field and till their land, but they are not able to do that, or they will not be able to do that if there is criminals out there who will be threatening their lives or their human dignity. The traders and the commercial business people will not be able to travel on the roads and go to other places to bring food to the market for all of us so as to bring down the ever-increasing and skyrocketing prices of essential basic commodities in the markets that we are experiencing now.
Imatong State Acting Governor Okidimoy Ogura says the government is committed to restoring peace and allowing the UN agencies like UNMISS to implement developmental projects.
I want to register our compliment and commendation to all UN agencies operating in South Sudan in general and in Imotong State in particular for the good job well done for the sake of our citizens. Indeed, they have done and are still doing a tremendous amount of good constructive work towards plans and means of bringing new high level of health, education, and productivity to our nation.
Ali Gele says in order for that good work to continue, the government must restore peace and convince armed youth to lay down their arms and work with the government.
The goals of the sustainable development for 2030, we still have time, we can still reach those goals. We can still achieve and attain progress, but before we can do anything, we need peace. We need to restrain our youth, remove them out of the roads, and bring peace back so that we can achieve these goals of prosperity.
Hundreds of residents, civil servants, UN representatives, and government officials filled to read Freedom Square to commemorate this year's UN Day. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Torit.
From Torit, we come back here to United States, where Election Day is just 18 days from today, but some people in the diaspora are still uncertain about who they will vote next month. As INBO reports, naturalized citizens or South Sudanese Americans who were granted citizenship by the U.S. government have to decide which candidate will best handle domestic politics here in the United States, but at the same time, be strong on U.S. foreign policy towards South Sudan.
Thon Moses, a registered Republican and naturalized American citizen from South Sudan, is conflicted about the November 8th U.S. presidential election.
I don't know what to do, but I don't also want to relinquish my right as a citizen. I have to vote. You know, I'm kind of like, should I vote for her or should I vote for him? Because if I vote for him, the guy is so extreme and dangerous. And if I vote for her, I'm getting more of the same for the past couple of years.
Other voters, like South Sudanese native Simon Deng, a 57-year-old human rights activist from New York City, knows exactly who he is voting for. Deng has been a naturalized citizen for over two decades and has voted ever since he became a U.S. citizen. But he says there is a bigger sense of urgency this time around.
This election is different because we have a crisis and catastrophe in hand in southern Sudan, a country that being brought to life by United States. Every person, the southern Sudanese American citizens, have a moral obligation to take this election as a very serious and very important to them than any election before, because there is something, there is life to be served. We have people dying at the moment we're speaking now.
Deng is a registered independent voter from New York City, but considers himself to be a conservative. Deng says he knows exactly who he will vote for come November, but he is unwilling to disclose his choice. With just over 2 weeks left until Election Day, Moses says there isn't a clear choice when it comes to Republican nominee Donald Trump and Democrat Hillary Clinton. Moses, a pastor at a local church in the Washington, D.C. suburb of Alexandria, Virginia, wants a candidate who shares his Republican values. He also wants someone who is respectful, a quality he says Trump lacks. But Moses says he is not convinced that Secretary Clinton, or the Democratic Party for that matter, can change things around in his home country of South Sudan.
And I think South Sudan has benefited a lot under Republicans. You know, without Bush, you know, a lot of things that happened during the CPA process, you know, some of those things would have not happened. And look at where we are today. South Sudan is not in a good shape, you know. So, and I think Hillary was part of the system. She was Secretary of State. And what did she do when she was Secretary of State? I have not really seen a whole lot of what she has accomplished.
Moses says people do not even hear about South Sudan this election year because they are too preoccupied with their own problems. He says the U.S. needs someone who can come up with fresh policies to tackle the issues of South Sudan. Moses says he is leaning toward Clinton, despite his conviction that she will not have a strong and direct policy toward South Sudan. He says he is uncomfortable with the idea of voting for Clinton, but he doesn't have much of a choice. Moses says Trump, in his words, is too extreme and dangerous. But the challenges facing South Sudan are many.
There are a lot of provisions that have not been fulfilled regarding the CPA. So CPA has not even been completed. You know, look at the issue of Obiei. Look at all the border demarcation. You know, all of these issues need someone that will really have time to say, hey, you know, we have helped South Sudan to get independent, but there are a lot of things that need to be done.
Because of the conflict in Syria and the migrant refugee crisis, South Sudan has not been in the spotlight on the world stage. Moses says although he is leaning toward Clinton, he will continue to watch the presidential race in case one of the candidates convinces him to change his mind. Ayan Bior, VOA News, Washington.
That's our show for this Friday. We now leave you with the song Nani Ongere by Colonel Mido. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Have a good weekend, and we hope to see you again on Monday for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Nevunee.